he also annexed outright the kingdom of Hanover to Prussia. Conservatives, legitimate conservatives, said, "What?" We're absolutely baffled by this. How could a man, a representative of the Hohenzollern crown, simply annex a legitimate monarchic state? Bismarck did it because this would link up Prussia's territories in the east with their territories on the Rhine and would solidify this North German confederation. He could not have cared less about the principle of legitimacy. So although he's a conservative, he is hardly an heir of Clemens von Metternich. Bismarck had hoped in 1866-67 that this victory over the Habsburgs, driving the Habsburgs for the first time in 1,000 years, the Habsburg monarchy was not to be the major power in Germany, had hoped that this would create a surge of support for a united Germany in the South German states, but it did not. In elections to the regional parliaments in the South German states, opponents of unification under Prussian auspices won in Bavaria, in Baden, and elsewhere. But Bismarck insisted that there be treaties signed with the South German states, which bound them to Prussia economically, of course, but also that Prussian military advisors were to be sent to the South German states to coordinate military policy so that in the event that they were threatened by the invasion, then there would be a common German defense policy. Who would be likely to invade the German states in 1866? Well, Bismarck was counting on some sort of threat from the Second French Empire and Louis Napoleon. I think the point that I want to underscore with all of this is not to familiarize you with the domestic politics of Bavaria or Baden. The important point to understand from this is that there was no great groundswell of public support for national unification in Germany and the South German states at this point. National unification they were interested in, but Prussia under Prussian domination seemed a high price to pay. Bismarck clearly needed an issue to push the situation toward unification, and that issue would be provided by a very unlikely opportunity. In 1868, a liberal revolt had overthrown the corrupt regime of Isabella II of Spain, and in the following year, the provisional government had searched for a new monarchic family, and they had gone through the various possibilities around Europe. Noble families from Italy, from Portugal, and a number of German princes had all been approached. Most had refused. But finally, they settled on one candidate, and that was Prince Leopold of Hohenzollern-Sigmaringen. This is a branch, a Catholic branch of the Hohenzollern family, not part of the Prussian kingdom, but in the southwest. French objections to this were very, very strong. They did not want to see the possibility of a France surrounded by a Hohenzollern-dominated Spain as well as a Hohenzollern-dominated Germany. And so Bismarck had here the potential issue that he wanted. He had worked behind the scenes very, very diligently to have the Spanish Cortes, the Spanish Parliament, offered the crown of Spain to this Hohenzollern prince. He maintained that he had nothing to do with it. The Hohenzollern family in Berlin had nothing to do with it. But in fact, Bismarck had been bribing Spanish lawmakers, had been using all of his influence to have the crown offered. When it was offered, the Spanish botched the job in the sense that instead of the Cortes actually voting to give the crown to this Hohenzollern prince, the government in Madrid, provisional government, just announced it. And so it sounded like exactly what it was, a trumped-up sort of situation. Response in Paris was predictable. The French demanded a withdrawal of the Hohenzollern candidate for the crown of Spain, and pressed their ambassador in Germany in Berlin to approach the king, William I, about withdrawing. William had no really strong opinions about this, was perfectly happy to see, thought he didn't need this sort of trouble.